This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
So picture yourself standing inside this just massive cavernous event hall in Shanghai. It's April 17th, 2026. And up on the main screen, looming behind the presenters, this single enormous number just flashes.
Right.
10,000.
Which is a huge deal.
It is. That is the number of physical robots the company Agibot managed to produce in like less than 3 years since they were founded. I mean, they are literally up there celebrating the 10,000th machine rolling off the assembly line.
Yeah.
And they're doing it right in front of, what, 2,500 partners from 34 different countries.
It's honestly a staggering physical achievement. I mean, in the manufacturing world, building complex hardware at that scale and that fast is incredibly difficult. Most robotic startups, you know, they never even make it past the prototype phase.
Right. But, and here is the massive twist to that whole scene. The founders of Agibot, Deng Taihua, and Peng Jihui, who are these former superstar engineers from Huawei, they didn't gather all those international partners just to show off metal and gears and motors.
No, they didn't.
They were actually there to reveal software. They took the stage to announce an operating system called LinQ OS and their overarching Avana architecture.
Yeah.
Like, after building 10,000 physical robots, they stood up and declared their true ambition. They want to become the Android of robotics.
Which, you know, completely flips the script on how we usually think about this industry.
It really does. And, well, welcome to the deep dive. If you are listening to this right now, you are about to get a front row seat to this invisible, high-stakes war for the actual soul of physical robots.
The software ecosystem.
Exactly. The ecosystem known as embodied AI. Guided by the really sharp insights of lawyer Kyungjin Kim, our sources today reveal that while everyone is, you know, distracted by the shiny metal bodies, there is this massive power grab happening right in the code.
Yeah, right under our noses.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because there are over 150 Chinese humanoid hardware companies locked in this absolute bloodbath of a price war, right? Slashing the costs of the physical machines. But the real battle is in the software layer. So today, we're going to look at how these robotic brains are actually being built, the frankly bizarre ways they're fed data, and how tech giants are quietly laying traps to monopolize the entire market.
Because declaring you want to be the Android of robotics, I mean, that's easy to say. Actually doing it is a monumental mathematical challenge.
Yeah, totally.
Before you can dominate the ecosystem, you have to figure out how to make a physical machine think and move at exactly the same time. And it turns out that is exponentially harder than making a chatbot type out a clever poem.
Well, let's talk about why it's harder, because this really gets to the core of the problem. Agibot had to face something called the latent action gap with their GO1 model.
Right, using their Villa architecture.
Right, and I really want to break this down for the listener, because in the digital world, an AI just processes text. It predicts the next word. But in the physical world, there's this massive canyon between the verbal command, you know, pick up that cup, and the physical reality of actually doing it.
Exactly, and that canyon is the latent action gap. Because natural language is fuzzy, right? It's ambiguous. Like, saying pick up the cup implies 1,000 micro decisions that we don't even think about.
Why?
Like, how heavy is the cup? Is it slippery? How much force should the fingers apply so they don't crush it? The machine has to translate that fuzzy meaning into the exact mathematical degrees needed to turn 17 different joints on a robotic arm.
Okay, so I picture it's sort of like the dynamic on a construction site. Mm. You have the architect who just casually waves a hand and says, you know, build a wall here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the AI understanding the language. But then you have the foreman on the ground who actually has to figure out the angles, calculate the load-bearing weight, mix the mortar, lay the bricks, all without the whole thing collapsing. The architect doesn't know how to mix mortar.
That is an excellent way to frame it. You have the meaning on one side, the architect, and the physical movement on the other, the foreman. So, Agibot's solution with their Villa architecture was to insert a latent action planning layer right in the middle to bridge that gap. Think of it functioning like the human brain's division of labor between the cerebrum and the cerebellum.
Okay, biology class, go on.
So the top layer, the cerebrum, looks at the cup and logically figures out the sequence of steps. But it doesn't actually move the arm. Instead, it passes that sequence down to a specialized lower layer, the cerebellum, which continuously translates those steps into smooth, real-time joint movements.
Okay, wait, I have to stop you there and push back on the timeline of all this. Because a giant AI model doing all that complex math and logic, it is inherently slow.
Sure.
Like, when I type a prompt into my laptop, I watch a little cursor blink for a few seconds before the AI replies. But the physics of the real world do not wait for the cloud to think.
No, they definitely do not.
If a physical robot hesitates for a single second while holding a heavy box, the center of gravity shifts and it falls over. You just can't beat the speed of light to a server and back. So how do they solve the physics lag?
Ah, so that is the exact engineering bottleneck that companies like Tencent are tackling. And their solution is honestly a masterclass in routing efficiency. They developed this model, the HY-embodied 0.5, and they recognize that you cannot put a massive power-hungry server rack inside a humanoid robot.
Hmm.
But, like you said, you also can't rely entirely on a distant cloud for balance. So they split the brain in two, a cloud brain and an edge brain.
Okay, let's pull those apart. Start with the cloud brain.
So the cloud brain lives in a massive data center, and it uses a mixture of experts, or MoE, architecture. And this model is staggering. It has 407 billion parameters.
Wow.
Yeah. It understands the laws of physics, complex logic, object recognition. But here's the trick to how it works. It doesn't use all 407 billion parameters at once.
Because that would take forever to compute.
Exactly. What's fascinating here is you can think of the MoE model kind of like a massive hospital. When you walk into the ER with a broken arm, you don't consult every doctor in the building.
Right. You don't need the cardiologist or the neurosurgeon.
Exactly. A triage nurse routes you specifically to the orthopedic specialist. The MoE does this mathematically. When it receives a command, a routing network directs the task only to the specific expert parameters needed for that specific action.
Oh, wow.
It only wakes up about 32 billion parameters per task. So it does the deep, complex thinking, the architect's job efficiently, and then beams the simplified high-level instructions down to the robot.
Which brings us to the physical robot itself, the machine actually standing in your kitchen. That's where the edge brain lives.
Yes, and the edge brain operates on a completely different architecture. It uses a lightweight mixture of transformers, or low-T model.
Mm-hmm.
It only has 4 billion parameters in total, and it only activates 2 billion of them at any given microsecond.
Oh, so it's tiny in comparison.
Exactly. Because transformers are typically very heavy to run, this mixture approach allows the physical chips inside the robot to only run the subnetworks essential for that exact moment. The edge brain doesn't philosophize about what a cup is.
Right.
It just executes the real-time balance, torque, and motor calculations, running 50 to 500 times a second.
Okay, so the cloud handles the grand strategy, and the edge brain handles the high-speed spinal reflexes. That is a brilliant division of labor.
It really is.
But let's be honest, an incredibly elegant split-brain architecture is completely useless if you don't have the data to train it. Like, a genius brain with no memories is just a very expensive paperweight.
Yeah, that's true.
And this is where the embodied AI story gets genuinely wild.
It's arguably the biggest hurdle in the field right now.
Right, because when OpenAI trained ChatGPT, they had it easy. They just scraped the internet. They ingested all of Wikipedia, all of Reddit, every blog post ever written.
Sure.
But as our sources point out, there is no internet database you can scrape that tells a machine how much torque it takes a 15-jointed robot hand to pick up a slippery egg without crushing it.
No, there isn't.
Yeah.
Which introduces us to the concept of VLA data. That stands for vision language action data. For text AI, data is just words.
Yeah.
But to train a physical robot, you have to completely redefine what a piece of data even is. You have to create a token of physical reality.
Okay, explain that for the listener. What does a physical token actually look like?
So it is a mathematical fusion of three things occurring at the exact same millisecond. You need the exact video frame of what the robot saw.
Okay, the vision.
Right. Then you pair that with the natural language command it was executing. And finally, you pair both of those with the precise physical joint angle and motor torque it applied.
Wow.
Those three elements are fused into a single high-dimensional mathematical vector, that is one VLA token. And because this specialized data doesn't naturally exist anywhere on the web, human beings have to generate every single token from scratch.
Which is driving companies to build literal data factories. And the sheer scale of human flesh, blood, and time going into this is mind-bending. Let's look at JD.com. In the city of Sichuan, they are mobilizing ordinary citizens to build this database.
Yeah, it's wild.
They have a stated goal to collect 10 million hours of VLA data. And to pull that off, they want to register 600,000 people.
It is an unprecedented logistical undertaking. They are having citizens wear these specialized glasses called Joy Ego Cam.
Okay.
Imagine a normal person waking up in their apartment, putting on these data gathering glasses, and just doing their daily chores. They wash the dishes, fold the laundry, open the refrigerator. The Joy Ego Cam records the exact first-person point of view of human hands manipulating objects.
Yeah.
They're basically trying to translate the mundane reality of human life into a digital format a machine can study.
I see the logic, but I see a massive flaw, too. I mean, the Joy Ego Cam is just capturing video from the perspective of a human eye. It still doesn't give you the third piece of the token you mentioned. It doesn't record the mechanical torque and exact robotic joint angles.
No, it doesn't.
To capture that, you have to look at what companies like Luju are doing near Beijing. They are building these massive Hollywood-style warehouse sets.
They're essentially sound stages for AI.
Exactly. They have built fake kitchens, fake living rooms, and mock electric vehicle assembly lines. And inside these warehouses, you have rows of human pilots sitting in cubicles wearing VR headsets and full haptic feedback suits.
Yeah.
They are physically teleoperating the robots in the fake rooms. So when the human pilot moves their arm, the robot in the fake kitchen moves its arm and washes a real dish.
It's the exact premise of the movie Avatar.
Yes.
The human pilot's consciousness is projected into the robot's hardware. And because the human's movement is perfectly mapped to the robot's physical sensors in real time, it captures the vision, the language, and the exact mechanical torque simultaneously. It produces the absolute highest quality VLA data possible.
Okay, but I'm doing the math on this and it doesn't add up. This sounds painfully slow and insanely expensive.
It is.
It's like artisanal data collection. If you have a human pilot doing chores in VR all day, they might only successfully complete a few hundred, maybe a thousand valid trajectories in a single shift. But these AI models need billions of tokens to actually learn.
Right.
You can't reach billions of tokens with humans wearing VR headsets. They will just never scale fast enough.
No, they won't. And that is the exact wall the entire teleoperation method hits. The math just doesn't work for global scale.
Mm.
And that brings us to a company called Galbit, also known as Silver Galaxy.
Okay.
They looked at the human data factories and basically walked away. They found a radical alternative, which is purely synthetic data. Instead of human pilots, they bought 160 NVIDIA RTX 4090 graphics cards.
Wait, just off-the-shelf high-end gaming GPUs.
Exactly. And they let those computers run for 10 days straight. For a total compute cost of just $5,000, they generated a data set called Syngrasp 1B.
1 billion frames.
1 billion frames of VLA data. They didn't use a single real-world robot or a single human pilot. They threw virtual, mathematically simulated robots into 1 million completely different randomized virtual rooms.
Okay, this is the absolute aha moment of this entire deep dive for me. Because historically, the problem with training an AI in a video game simulation is that the real world is messy. Virtual physics are too clean. How did a virtual robot learn to handle reality?
Through a mechanism called domain randomization.
Okay, what's that?
So the simulation doesn't just recreate a normal kitchen. It tortures the virtual robot with variations. The simulation changes the gravity, making the virtual cup weigh 10 pounds and 1/10 of an ounce. It changes the lighting to extreme glare. It makes the air friction thick like syrup.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it lets the AI fail millions of times in these chaotic virtual environments. Because the AI is forced to adapt to such wildly varying physics in the simulation, it doesn't just memorize the room. It actually learns the underlying mechanics of manipulation.
So when Galbit transferred this purely virtual brain into a real physical robot, which is a process called sim-to-real transfer, it already knew how to adapt.
Exactly.
And the results were staggering. The physical robot succeeded over 90% of the time in the real world, navigating environments it had never actually seen.
It is a complete paradigm shift. The sim-to-real transfer even successfully handled transparent glass and shiny reflective plastic.
Which are notoriously hard, right?
Yeah. In the AI world, glass is notorious for destroying computer vision because the reflections confuse the sensors. But because the synthetic data engine had bombarded the virtual robot with such extreme optical variations, it knew exactly how to interpret reflections in reality.
And this synthetic data miracle is upending the economics of the entire industry. I mean, it turned companies like Lightwheel AI into unicorns almost overnight.
Oh, absolutely.
Lightwheel isn't trying to build robots. They are just selling these hyper-realistic synthetic data environments to giants like NVIDIA and Alibaba. They are basically selling the invisible picks and shovels during a gold rush.
Which creates a really fascinating strategic friction. If Lightwheel AI is making data cheap and synthetic training is so effective, why aren't all those 150 hardware companies just building their own brains?
Exactly. I mean, if the data bottleneck is solved, everyone should be making their own software. Why would they pay someone else?
Because the tech giants and state-backed platforms are deliberately setting a trap to ensure the hardware companies don't have to build their own brains. They want them dependent.
Right.
This is the final phase of the ecosystem war.
The Android moment. The clash between state strategy and big tech. And former lawmaker Kyungjin Kim's insights point us directly to what is happening above the hardware level here. Let's look at the Beijing Embodied AI Robotics Innovation Center.
Okay.
This is a state-supported initiative, and their strategy is brilliant because it looks like charity. It's an open-source Trojan horse.
It is a classic platform play, but executed at a national scale. The Beijing Center created an entire software platform called Tiangong, and rather than selling it to hardware companies, they gave everything away for free.
Just free.
Free. They released the URDF 3D models. The URDF is the foundational mathematical blueprint that dictates how a robot's physical joints relate to each other in space. They gave away the ROS, or Robot Operating System, code. They even released a massive dataset called RoboMind-D, completely free for anyone to download and use.
So the hardware companies get locked into a standard they don't control. And if the state is playing the open source game, big tech is playing the cloud game. Let's look at Alibaba.
Right.
Alibaba isn't bothering to build physical metal bodies. They don't care about the motors or the gears. They are launching the Qwen robot suite, and they are setting an incredibly seductive trap in the cloud.
Alibaba's approach is aggressive pricing. They are offering an API, a digital bridge, for robots to connect directly to their massive, sophisticated cloud brains at an absurdly low price point.
How low are we talking?
They are charging just 40 cents per 1 million tokens of processing power.
Wow.
Remember those physical VLA tokens we discussed? A hardware startup can now process a million of those complex sensory motor calculations for less than half a dollar. For a startup bleeding cash on physical parts, the temptation to just rent Alibaba's genius brain instead of spending millions to train their own is overwhelming.
It's an offer you can't refuse, especially when you look at how sophisticated the Qwen suite actually is. It has models for navigation, so the robot maps a room instantly. It has models for precise manipulation. But the most mind-blowing piece of software they're renting out is their world model.
Oh, the world model represents a massive leap in artificial capability. Essentially gives the machine the ability to hallucinate the immediate future.
Okay, so what does this all mean? Explain how that works, hallucinating the future.
In humans, we call it intuition. If you go to push a tall, heavy box, your brain subconsciously runs a physics simulation. You just feel that if you push too high, it will tip over. Alibaba's world model gives robots that exact predictive intuition.
That's crazy.
Before the robotic arm even twitches, the model takes the visual data and renders a latent video of the future. It simulates 50 different ways to apply force. It sees the box tip over and crash in 49 of those simulations.
Right.
And then it chooses the one path where the box slides smoothly. It foresees the physical consequences of its actions before committing to the movement.
That is wild. It is predictive intelligence for the physical world, and Alibaba is offering this godlike power for pennies. So we have this incredible dynamic playing out. Beijing is laying the open source trap with Tiangong, and Alibaba is laying the cloud trap with Qwen.
Yeah.
Both are quietly positioning themselves to become the indispensable central nervous system for every robot on Earth.
And this brings us back to the core warning provided by former lawmaker Kyungjin Kim. If we connect this to the bigger picture, we have to look at the economic reality of this entire ecosystem. If all these hardware companies take the bait, if they decide to simply rent Alibaba's cloud brains or build on top of Tiangong's free platform to save money, they are sealing their own fate.
Mm-hmm.
They will cease to be true technology companies.
You just become mere subcontractors. It's like the relationship between Foxconn and Apple. The hardware companies are bleeding their profit margins to assemble the metal, the glass, and the gears. They are fighting to be Foxconn. Meanwhile, Alibaba and Beijing are positioning themselves to be Apple owning the software ecosystem, owning the intelligence, and keeping all the leverage.
Exactly. Because ultimately, the real wealth in this industry isn't the metal. The real wealth is the data. Over the next decade, as these robots go into millions of homes, hospitals, and factories, they are going to continuously collect the most intimate, detailed data about the physical world ever gathered.
Right.
And if those robots are running on a rented brain, all of that invaluable real-world data, every action, every mapped room, is going to be sucked straight up into the cloud servers of Alibaba, Tencent, or state-run platforms.
Which connects this entire technological arms race directly to you, the person listening right now. We are living through a massive historical pivot.
We really are.
For the last 20 years, the tech industry made trillions of dollars by scraping our digital lives. They tracked our web searches, our clicks, our social media habits. But what we are talking about today is the exact moment the tech industry shifts from tracking the digital world to literally mapping and controlling physical actions in the real world.
It forces us to entirely redefine what a monopoly looks like. We are moving from monopolies of information to monopolies of physical capability. The entity that successfully becomes the Android of robotics won't just control software. They will dictate how machines interact with our physical environment.
Think back to that opening scene in Shanghai. 10,000 physical Agibots standing in a hall ready to be deployed. The metal is impressive, sure, but the real asset, the real power, was the invisible software linking them all together. It leaves you with a lingering, almost chilling thought. In a few years, if a robot is standing in your kitchen cooking dinner, but its brain is being rented from a tech giant's cloud server 1,000 miles away, who really owns the physical actions happening in your home? Are we about to see the physical world, how we move, how we eat, how we organize our private spaces, get monetized exactly like our internet browser history? Something to think about the next time you see a machine doing the dishes.
This program is provided by Lawyer Kyungjin Kim.